Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here on this first Sunday in Advent. Derek.
Good morning from me, and on to the intimations. Welcome, especially if you're a visitor this morning, and we do have a visitor's book if you'd like to sign it. In the printed sheet and on screen at the moment, you'll see a list of upcoming services, including one tonight at Tully Allen and Kincardine Church. That's in Kincardine at 7 o'clock. There's a carols and candles service. We have the Advent services at the normal times here through Advent. There are nine lessons and carols at Limekilns on Sunday the 14th. And when it comes to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, those are following our normal pattern. I noticed yesterday too that in Crossford on Monday the 22nd there will be carols at the Keevil entrance, it says. I'm not sure whether that's in the main street or up at the hotel, but it's up at the hotel, so yeah. Seven, that's from memory. There's information online about that. So, rest of our intimations. The Sanctuary Cinema continues each Thursday. And the films coming up are The Lost King this week on the 4th and The Dinner on the 11th. Films start at 2, admission is free and tea, coffee and biscuits are provided. The Advent Discussion Group has started a meeting for Advent, and it was going to be Wednesdays. Last week changed to Thursday, and we decided to make this week Thursday as well for different reasons. So this Thursday at 7 p.m. and then the two Wednesdays after, and we're looking at the Sanctuary First material entitled Room at the Table. Anyone is welcome to come and join us at discussion group. It would be good to see some others. Lego Club. Now that says Saturday 14th, and we're now agreed that Saturday's the 13th, but it is the Saturday morning once again for Lego Club in here between 10 and 11:30 a.m. I think this will be the third one, yeah, and it's been quite successful. The kids get to build something in Lego from a Bible story. Parents have to, or guardians have to be there, admission free, and there's tea, coffee available for adults. And Irene, who's up at the sound desk today, will be happy to speak to you about that if you need more information. One that's not on the sheet is that there are a few things special about today, and I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, but I'll mention one of them. It's the last Sunday of the month, and that means there's tea and coffee, and we keep forgetting to put that in the intimations. But the tea coffee today, because the Irene Patterson room is full of Christmas goodies which you can look at, tea coffee will be in here. So if you can wait and stay for tea and coffee, please stay in the church once worship is finished. What did I not say? Details of Scout Post are available in the vestibule if anyone wants to see that. It only runs till the 10th of December, so you have to be quick to use the Scout Post in West Fife. Thank you.
Thanks, Derek.
Yes, Eric said tea and coffee will be in the church. So after the service, we might have to move the chairs and things a wee bit just to get organised. And we do still have crafts for sale. And George, our treasurer, has authorised 20% off for this week.
Are you sure? Doesn't sound like George at all. All right, my goodness. And one further one from me, and big thank you to those who came down to the Limekilns Christmas Bazaar. It's the total at the moment is standing at 2,648. And that's what we took in on cash yesterday. I had the card machine, and I haven't checked my bank, I mean the church bank account. we were struggling to find all the right codes to get into the bank account this morning, so we don't know how much the card machine took yesterday. And of course, like here, it's always a running total because things get sold. So, but thank you for your support of that. I know the people of Limekilns much appreciated it. Now, I want to light a candle. and I need some help for this. And if you'd seen the pantomime down at Limekilns, you would hardly believe it, because I had a box of matches and not one single one of them would light. And two grown-up children had a shot at it, me being one of them. And eventually Karen had to go through to the manse to get one of the gas lighters for the cooker. Anyway, who'd like to light a candle? I'm looking at young people, but we're all children of God here, so whoever is brave enough to come out and help, go on then. How many years have you been doing this? A lot. Do I need an extra? I probably don't need an extra. I'll maybe use one of these. Mind you, it is terrible when you ask for somebody that feels like they're a... You know, it's hard for people like me that are honestly shrinking. There we go. See, I didn't even need to give instructions this time. Well done. Thank you very much. There we are, the first Advent candle. So, to worship. Let's begin by singing hymn number 279, make way for Christ the King. Dedicate our offering. Almighty God, as we offer gifts to you, we remember that the greatest gift of all comes from you, Jesus, born into the world as Lord and Saviour. So we ask your blessing upon the gifts that we give, that these things will be used to your glory and to your praise. Amen. Now, last year, Advent began on the day that Advent calendars begin. And this year it doesn't, because this is the last day of November, but it's actually the first day of Advent. What do you know about Advent? Anybody? It's busy. Is that because you've got too many of a family? Says he, looking at some of those family. Anything you guys know? After all these years, I've been telling you about Advent. And I, you know, at least you've got young minds. I mean, there's some people here who go, oh, is it Advent? That might be me too. Anything you know? How many Sundays are there?
Four.
There are four Sundays in Advent. Anybody here got an Advent calendar?
Oh,
right. Did you not get one?
No, I do have one actually.
Oh, you do?
Give it to me.
You'll get it tonight. You bought it so well.
Do I have to phone up social work? Yeah, so we've got all of those things. So who can tell me what the official start of Advent is? How is it defined? Now, I did tell you this 1 year, I'm sure. Advent begins on the Sunday closest to the 30th of November. And since this is the 30th of November, it begins closest to which saint's day? St. Andrew. This is St. Andrew's day. I hope you knew that in Scotland. You look puzzled. Yeah, this is St. Andrew's Day. So, St. Andrew is the patron saint of Scotland. Do you know any of his... You know, patron saints cover a whole lot of things. Can you name another country? Or can you name something to do with humanity? Anybody know any of the other countries?
Russia.
And, interestingly, Ukraine. Yeah. So, I don't know what St. Andrew's thinking as he looks down on Russia and Ukraine at the moment. That might be something to think about. Other things that, and this really amused me because I've got that kind of a mind. St. Andrew is the patron saint of singers and sore throats. But I think the thing we remember about Andrew is that he's not much mentioned, but he's the kind of quiet one. So probably in my family, I'm more like his brother Peter, because I'm the noisy one. And anybody the quiet one of their family? You are, Irene.
Yes.
You're the quiet one of that family.
But does her dad agree with that?
I was looking for a shocked face down here. So what's happened in church? Because she's never quiet here. Andrew's the quiet one, but who is it that runs off to his brother and says, come and see Jesus? It's Andrew. Who is it when Jesus says, how am I going to feed all these people? Is the one who brings the boy with the two fish and the five loaves. It's Andrew. So he seems to be the quiet one who ensures that things happen. Not the noisy one that's standing out front, like me. Because, yes, I knew there would be tea and coffee today. Did I know how it would appear? No. And there it is. And of course, our study this year is about room at the table. And that has all sorts of meanings. Now, how many people, and I'll exclude the young people today, how many of us look back to being children when Christmas was so easy? It just happened, and it was so relaxed. And how many of us noticed, I suppose particularly our mothers, running around half daft, trying to make sure everything was done, completely went past me. But of course, there was room and there were things at the table because there were the quiet people to do it. You need the noisy people as well. But there is room at the table for everyone. And that is going to be our subject for the next few weeks. So today we're thinking about the subject of hope, because that is our first candle. So we'll be thinking about hope and our expectations through this season of Advent. So I think we should sing. I can never remember what I've chosen. So we're going to be thinking about Jesus coming into the world, and Jesus was that person who served and came to serve, and we as his people are called to serve. And so we're going to sing, "Jesus' hands were kind hands." If you're looking at your order of service, you will be expecting George to pop up somewhere to lead us in prayer. George is occupied with family things, so he did say to me, "Would I have a prayer to offer?" since he wouldn't be here. The prayers that I'm using this morning, are both this and later in the service, are those from the Church of Scotland website, written by Martin Fair, who was the moderator of General Assembly during lockdown and did an awful lot to help people worship during that year. I've got to say, this first prayer is probably edited a bit more than maybe some others so that it fits in with our theme. But let's approach God now in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and generous God, in this season of Advent, we rejoice in all that you are as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Most of all, we turn to Jesus, rejoicing in his birth and knowing that he shares our humanity. If we were to take all day to do it, there still wouldn't be time enough to list the ways in which we are thankful to you. Here, we give thanks for all that you have done, are doing, and will do for us as your people. We think of times when we take this for granted. But today, we remember and thank you for your grace and mercy toward us. We count our blessings and are grateful to you. Good and generous God, we thank you for your gifts to us, for the skills that we have, for the minds that you have given us, for the work that we do as we seek to live for you in the world. good and generous God, in this Advent season now stretching out before us, we thank you for the promises that you have given us, those promises that we hold on to, that the darkness has never and will never overcome the light, that the day is coming when the wolf will live with the lamb, and that the Prince of Peace will reign. We thank you that you are a forgiving God. So we confess before you that we have chosen our own ways instead of yours. Forgive us. That we have thought there was another way to live rather than your way. Forgive us. Inasmuch as we choose Christmas but want to skip the challenge of Advent, forgive us. Inasmuch as we have opted for crowns instead of crosses and mansions instead of mangers, forgive us. Transform us by your Spirit, that this Advent might become a season for resetting, a time for opening our hearts and making room for you as if for the first time. We offer our prayers in Jesus' name, and together we say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our readings this morning come from the study booklet. There are four readings in the study booklet, and we're going to use two of them. Some words from Psalm 85 and some words from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13. And Marian is going to read for us.
First reading is from Psalm 85, reading verses 8 to 13. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. It's entitled, Love, for the Day is Near. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen.
Hymn 472. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Introduction to Study 1 in the study booklet asks some questions. We begin Advent reflecting on anticipation and expectation. What are we leaving room for? What room has been left for us? How do we respond to the invitation to God's table, where all are welcome and there's always room? As I mentioned in the study guide, there were four suggested readings, and we've just read two of them. The other two readings are very well-known passages. I suspect that most of us will know the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's my shepherd." And the other passage was from 1 Corinthians, where Paul describes how the Lord's Supper should be celebrated. Words that we know, so I chose the lesser known readings for this service. All of the readings are about hope and expectation. The hope that is God's justice and mercy, the expectation that God will more than fulfill our hopes. In many of the descriptions of the meaning behind our Advent candles, that first candle that we light on this first Sunday in Advent, the symbolism is hope. Maybe that is a major challenge, not just on a personal level, but when we look at the world around us. The light of that first candle, what is it? Distraction from the darkness? A hope that Christmas will be a moment that distracts us from a world where there seems to be so little light? Or is the light of that candle a reminder of real hope for real people in a real world? Hope for people like us. Last weekend, Karen and I were down at our caravan for a short pre-Advent break. was also an opportunity to tidy up and clear things out and prepare the caravan for winter when it shut down and drained down. So last Sunday, we went to Belhaven Church on the outskirts of Dunbar. And it just so happened to be a communion service, which was very interesting. We didn't know what we were going to be walking into, of course. And the invitation there, that is part of the communion service, was a reminder that there is a place at the table for everyone, which fitted very well with the theme that I was beginning to think about as we move into Advent. Returning home, I had a pre-Advent retreat for ministers on Thursday. I was very tempted to put in my apologies because time was short and there was an awful lot to be done this week. But I thought, no, I should be there. So I went along and the theme turned out to be hope. It's amazing how God just puts wee things in just to help you along the way. All of it made me think of the study for this week. In the rush of what is a busy season of the year, do I have room? Do we leave room for the Christ in Christmas? Already there are important moments where there are diary decisions. I suspect that many of us will be making decisions and looking at priorities in church life, in family life, in our various circles of life, be it with friends or neighbours. The very fact that we are concerned about how busy Advent can be and how pressurised Christmas is reveals our desire that there's room for something real. Advent is meant to be a season of hope, a hope that is founded in God. We prepare to celebrate God's answer to human sin and suffering. The Christmas story, if we strip it back from all that sugar coating of romanticism, presents a world of power, politics, and individual weakness. It's a story that turns those things on its head because the weakness and frailty of a baby in a manger becomes salvation beyond human understanding. In a couple of weeks, down the road in Limekilns will be a service of nine lessons and carols. It's a service that quite a number of folk here go down to. And I suspect that quite a number of people here will watch the nine lessons and carols from, is it King's College? With the choirs and all the rest. And in that service, which is full of music, but it's also full of readings, it begins with the reading in Genesis about creation and runs right through to the promise of Jesus and Jesus' birth. First time I came across nine lessons and carols, I was slightly puzzled as to why the big reading at the end isn't about Jesus' birth. It's from John chapter 1. It's that very theological description of Jesus. And I wondered, why wasn't it one of the birth stories? And then I realized that maybe we should always read the Christmas story in the light of John's explanation of Jesus, the Word made flesh. The baby in the manger as the fulfillment of God's promise that runs through the Old Testament from the very beginning of creation to the moment of incarnation, and then into that bigger picture of God's salvation that we find in Jesus. In this Advent season, when we think of our world, there is a real longing, a real need for the vision of life under God that we read in Psalm 85, that Jesus is the fulfillment of, and in his return will be that fulfillment. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Here, a picture of love and faithfulness in harmony, and righteousness and peace in embrace. In that picture, where we see faithfulness springs forth from the earth, we are meant to look with faithfulness to God, springing from us, our faithfulness, reaching up to God's righteousness, that righteousness that reaches down to embrace us. In our reading from Romans, Paul's instruction to that group of God's people living in Rome, that they should live by the rule of love, the rule of Christian love, to live the love of Christ, encapsulating all of God's law, all of God's desire. And we know that Jesus' command to love is supremely and completely seen in Jesus himself. But Jesus also asks us to live out that love. It's not easy. There are many temptations in life. The Christian life, in obedience to Christ's command to love, is not an easy route to take. What Paul tells us is that we are to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are those who carry the good news that is at the heart of Christmas. We are to be light in the darkness. We are those whom God entrusts with that message. I discovered something new about Advent this year. Advent is not just about looking forward to the birth of Jesus. It's also looking forward to Jesus' return, when it really will be that point where love and faithfulness, righteousness and peace will all be caught up in a new heaven and a new earth. And I've said that before, but I discovered that some traditions, Advent is also a celebration of the perpetual presence of Jesus, and particularly in communion, or the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, or Mass, whatever branch of the church we happen to be in, it's about the Lord's table, that table that is open to all of us. If we go back to the words of the psalmist, our faithfulness springs up from earth, reaching up to embrace the righteousness of God as God's righteousness reaches down to embrace us in our faithfulness. We are chosen by God to be his invitation. Jesus used the picture of a great banquet to describe the kingdom of God. And the invitation goes out. And we are that invitation to the banquet, a table that is infinite and eternal. There are no limits to that table. And the limits that we try to apply to God do not apply. God is bigger than we can think or imagine and longs to embrace this world. And so we are the invitation. We carry with us hope and expectation that is at the heart of Advent. The hope and expectation that comes from celebrating Jesus being born into our world. Jesus, who is always with us, the one who is called Emmanuel, God with us, and in whom the promise of eternal belonging to God beyond the confines of time and space. As we begin Advent, we blow out the candle as we leave the church, but we take the light of Christ with us. We are God's invitation to the table. Is there room at the table? Are we leaving room at the table? Are we going out with hope and expectation? Amen. Hymn number 291, When Out of Poverty Is Born. As I said earlier, the prayers today come from Martin Fair and from the Church of Scotland website. The prayer of prayers for others is quite short in words, but lots of space for your own prayers. And just before that, I'd like to read a poem from the study guide written by James Cathcart. If you want to close your eyes and listen, that's fine, and have it as a prayer. If you want to keep your eyes open and listen, that also is fine. So from the study guide, there's room at the table for loss. There's room at the table for doubt. There's room at the table for hurt. There's room at the table for you. There's room at the table for skepticism. There's room at the table for unease. There's room at the table for failure. There's room at the table for me. There's room at the table for third and fourth chances. There's room at the table for a difference of opinion. There's room at the table for disagreement. There's room at the table for us. There's room at the table for hesitation. There's room at the table for questioning. There's room at the table for honesty. There's room at the table for everyone. There's room at the table for hope. There's room at the table for sorrow. There's room at the table for love. There's room at the table for you. Loving God, you are not remote, far off, as if some absentee landlord. Rather, as we ready ourselves during Advent to celebrate You are the one who comes to where we are, the one who is close, the one who cares. And so you are not cold or indifferent to the needs of this world, to the suffering of its people. You gave Jesus for the world to be its light and its salvation. Hear us then as we pray for the people and situations in our families and communities, the people who are very close to us, be they family, friend, or neighbor. Hear us as we pray for people and situations in our nation, for those places where need is great, for those who feel that they are the excluded or the broken or the forgotten, for people consumed by wealth and pride, for people like us who need the society and community of which we are part. Hear us as we pray for people and situations in the wider world where brokenness is so evident. We pray for those divided by conflict and war, by prejudice and hatred, by wealth and poverty, by care and carelessness. And in this season of Advent, we particularly think of those places that are so much in our mind because they are part of the story of Nazareth and Galilee, of Bethlehem and Judea, caught up in world events then, caught up in division and hatred and world events now. Hear us as we pray for the world around us. Hear and receive our prayers, the words spoken and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. For we present these in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. We sing now hymn 286, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord.
Thank you.
go with hope and expectation. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.